Turn to John, the sixth chapter. We're going to break into the middle of a thought here, or middle of an event that took place. And it had to do with feeding the 5,000. So we come in here and we'll have what's called the bread. And of course, referring to the bread of life. Let's go to verse 22. Break in the middle of the story. After he had provided all the bread for the 5,000. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered into the boat when his disciples, with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Then the people, therefore, saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples. They also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" They didn't see him leave. See? They didn't see him depart. And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He says, "Do not labor for food that perishes, but for the food which endures everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set it on, sealed it upon him." Of course, they say, "Okay, what shall we do? That we may do the work of God." I mean, everybody asks that question in their lives, right? What do we do that we may do the work of God? And a lot of organizations, a lot of people have all sorts of things, and they say, "This is what we will do to do the work of God." That was a legitimate question for them, right? A good question. They had asked, how come? You know, because you're seeking the wrong thing, Jesus got to saying. And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Well, it's a simple word, simple statement. Well, when you say to believe in him whom he sent, what does that involve? It involves a whole lot more than just believing he is the Son of God. It involves living like him, thinking like him. There was a statement that Dave said about in the book of Romans. You know, you read off the 14th chapter or 12th chapter about all those. This is your least expected of you. There's a lot of things going through there. We're saying, wow, those are what? Things you do. The work of God. Okay, we got them all filled. There's another thing that the Apostle Paul mentioned. I want you to hear me today. You who know me and have heard me speak, I'm a person that does not do away with the law, right? I don't preach the law is finished, don't preach the law is gone away with. What do I preach? I preach that we are to live within the law. I want to go one step further with you today. When Apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you that was in Jesus," what was the mind of Jesus? The Father was in the mind. Do the will of the Father. Now, what's the will of the Father? The lot. Okay, you got to find out what it's all about. Now, what is the will of the Father? To statutes and judgments, right? I mean, the book of Deuteronomy is full of that, right? If you got to keep the statutes and the judgments. We also have heard in Messianic groups, Jesus is the Torah. Jesus is the living Torah. The Torah is Jesus. We got that, right? Question. If the Spirit of the Creator of heaven and earth is in you as it was in the man Jesus, What are you? If he is living Torah, what are you, a dead Torah? You are a living Torah. What you do and how you act, how you live your life, you're hearing what the will of the Father is saying. And when you do that, you're not just preaching the Torah. You're just not out there trying to get the Torah out to people. You are living it. Do you understand that? You know, that is a blessed thing. In the kingdom of God, that's all that's going to come on this earth, and each and every one of you will be the living Torah. You'll be the living Word of God. Is not the Messiah the living Word of God? Yeah, yeah, but how about us? We're not the living Word of God. Why not? Why not? Why not? If the same Spirit that dwelled, says the book of Romans, if the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus dwells in you, then guess what? You will understand the spiritual laws of God and apply them to your life. What does Apostle Paul often said? He says, Spirit is life. Right? And so sometimes we look at our life and we say, well, I'm not the living Torah. Why not? I'm not saying we're the whole living thing. I mean, Jesus is the one that produces and does that whole thing. Okay, we understand that part. But he has given us, because if we seek the will, constantly Jesus said, if you seek the will of my Father, you will understand my doctrine. If you don't seek the will of the Father, you will not understand my doctrine. And he said many times, two times, that nobody is going to come to me, the Savior, unless the Father draws them. Right? We're familiar with that, right? And sometimes we think, oh no, it's our job to draw the person to Jesus. Oh no, that's not our role. Our role is to be like Christ. What's what Christian mean? Followers of the Messiah. So we had, where is he going? Where is the Messiah heading to? He is, we preach this again, if he is a living Torah, guess where you're going? Toward life. You ever thought about yourself that way before? You ever thought the mere fact that if you are to represent Jeff, sorry, I forgot your name there for a moment. Remember he said that we are, of course, he's quoting the Apostle Paul. We are like ambassadors. You remember that? He borrowed it from a guy named Paul, by the way, just in case. Now, if you are representing the kingdom of God, if you are representing the Torah, if you're representing, guess what? That's what you are. Now, a good ambassador, if he does not know what his government wants him to do, what does he do? He sends an embassy back to his government and says, this is a situation that has come up, sir. What is your will? And I will carry it out. Same thing in our lives, right? So we go before our eternal God, before our high priest, before our and Lord of Lords. We go before him and we say, I have the situation. So you don't have to send an ambassador, an embassy or somebody else to talk for you, because you have direct communication to the Creator of heaven and earth immediately. And on the spot. So if anything comes up, guess what? That's the reason why many of you have prayers that are answered quickly. Did you realize that? The reason why you have answers of prayers done quickly is because, guess what? You got direct contact. I won't be able to go in today, what had to do with the blind man. I'll do a little bit maybe tomorrow. But it had to do, and he said, the blind man said, remember he was blinded, and then Jesus had to heal his eyes. He went to the Septuagint, and they said, how'd you manage to see? Well, this guy named Jesus, he put stuff on my face, my eyes, and told me to go wash myself in a certain particular place, and then I was able to see. And of course, the Sanhedrin, touch on that a little bit tomorrow, maybe, said, this person, Jesus, is a sinner. Remember what the blind man turned around and said to them? We know that God does not hear sinners. Uh-oh. And what did they do? They gave him the old good, really hard boot, and he felt it. He was thrown out of any synagogue, thrown out from any place he could attend. He was not allowed to go into any place. And of course, then, you know, the story goes that Jesus hunted him down. And he says, what happened? Of course, he already knew what happened. He wanted to hear from him. He says, well, they kicked me out. And he said, well, do you believe in the Son of God? And he says, show me who he is and I will. And he says, that's who I am. Immediately the man worshipped him on the spot. Bowed down on his knees, praised God, glorified God because of that. You know, the man, got an interesting little story. We won't go there today. But put yourself a little bit, just a little bit in the shoes. Not of the blind man, but of those who are blind to the Word of the living God, who are blind to the Feast of Tabernacles, who are blind to the Sabbath, who are blind to the Torah. It's your golden opportunity if they come before you and say, I'm blinded, help me to see. But you must show them not what you think you should show them or tell them. Not even Jesus did that, right? He said, I will do absolutely nothing unless the Father tells me. Jesus withheld an awful lot of secrets, didn't he? He withheld. In fact, he even told the disciples, I have many things to tell you, but you're unable to bear them or take them or understand them. You're unable to be able to put the picture together yet. So it's going to have to come later. So when the person asks you a question, give them the answer they ask. If the Father is doing the calling, you're just a tool. Go on to verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last days. So we kind of see a picture here. The will of the Father is number one. In the kingdom of God, when the Messiah's feet is ruling after 1,000 years or in 1,000 years reign, why does it say in Isaiah, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord that teaches of his ways? Because, you know, it's going to take a while. It'll take a while for you to know, listen carefully, to know what the will of the Father is. And so where are you going to go? You're going to go right straight to Jerusalem, and you're going to address the King, King of Kings in this case, and you're going to say, this is the situation here. What must I do? But see, the law comes forth out of where? Comes forth out of Zion. And the word of the Lord comes out of Jerusalem. So in the kingdom of God, we have this beautiful picture that's going to be taking place. You will be able, you don't know how to solve a problem, you go and you'll know by listening, hearing, because your ears will always be in the process of being blessed with hearing. Your eyes will always be blessed with seeing. It's not like, oh yeah, I saw. Yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, okay. Wouldn't that be a boring life if you knew everything? Oh, God's going to have a long, big, big picture, a lot of things. He's going to be keeping you busy. He'll keep me busy to keep all those who are in that kingdom that are supposed to be charge of, all of that he is going to have charge of. Remember the talent? The guy who has five? And the guy who had one? Guess what happened? The guy who had five? He had more work to do. So lo and behold, you know, your work may be increased. Also, it was not decreased. Actually, if it was decreased, it wouldn't be in the first place, because that's what the parable is all about. But we won't go there. I want to move on to chapter 7. That's the interest I want to talk about was the will of the Father. The bread of life came down. And when you partook of that bread of life, that spiritual concept of the Messiah, you are taking on the will of the Father. You are taking it on. Did you really want it? Did you even know that when you started walking this direction, that you were taking on the will of the Father? Or were you just walking this direction because, well, I need to be saved? Well, yeah, maybe in the first place, you don't like the, I need bread. Okay, I'll give you a bunch of bread. What? You're serving after nothing. You're going the wrong directions. That's what you should consume. The will of the Father. That's why the whole bread thing came about. Now, feed. Then he says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one that comes down. I'm the one that came from heaven. I'm the one that's going to feed you and clothe you, take care of you. But I want you to grow. I want you to live. Jesus made a statement. I won't go there today. But he said in the book of Luke, if I'm not mistaken, he told the Pharisees, you seek life in the Torah. Oh, what's wrong with that? What was his statement? Back. In the Torah, it speaks about me. Now, what is the me? The me is life. Yeah, the Torah speaks about life. Not death, life. Yes, it warns of death. And it gives you a lesson to go. And Apostle Paul mentioned that in Corinthians. The Torah is there to guide you, to teach you, to lead you to life. It's like the Torah isn't the physical Torah, the written Torah. It's like an inanimate object that's alive and it says, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to take your life. Come over here, take a look. Come over here, take a look. So what did Jesus say about the Torah, the law? The weightier matters of the law are justice, mercy, and faith. All the other things in Torah is not as heavy or not primary. Basically, what we're saying is the reason why the Torah, the law, was written is because of justice and because of mercy and because of faith. That's the point of the entire Torah. Now, if you become, and I hope that you will consider this really seriously, if you stop and think that you are the living Torah, what should be the weightier matters in your life? What should be the weightier things that should be part of your life? What is it that should be there? Justice, mercy, and faith. Does that make sense? Let me ask you a question. Don't have to answer it. Do you know that you are a just person, an upright person? Do you know that you are a holy person, or are you questioning it? Are you a person that says in your heart or in your mind, I don't think I got mercy on anybody? Uh-oh. Something's missing there, isn't it? There's something missing in your life. Well, you know what's missing? The Torah. Life is missing. And see, we have been given this from God. We have been given it through His Son. He gave up His Son's life, and His Son gave up His life voluntarily that we may have death, or that we may have life. Flesh and blood is going to go to, express my expression, I don't mean this big slang, it's going to go to hell. All right? It's going to decompose. It's going to no longer be. But what about your spirit? If that spirit is connected to the living spirit, joined with that living spirit, your spirit is not dying. Your spirit is living. I-N-G form. Right? So now we have the Torah. We get this down to you. I'm going to move on to chapter 7 here. This is something else took place. I don't want to go back there and read this. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now, the feast of the Jews was at hand, and His brothers, therefore, said to Him, depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works which you are doing. For no one does things in secret while he himself seeks to know openly, or be known openly. If you do these things, you show yourself to the world. Wasn't that the object? No, it wasn't. Why wasn't the object? Because Jesus said, I do nothing. Read Romans chapter 6. Unless the will of the Father, if the will of the Father is, do not go, guess what? He missed the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. He didn't go. He didn't go on the second day. He went in the midst of it, or in the middle of it. And did he go openly? No, since he went secretly. He couldn't figure out where he was at, you know. And then he began to speak openly. I want you to listen a little bit about this. Verse 14. Drop down there for a minute. Oh, we'll drop down there. And he said, now, about the middle of the feast, Jesus went into the temple and taught. Okay, right smack dab in the middle of the feast. What were we doing in the middle of the feast? We were in my house, mostly you, and you were, oh, the good taste of wine, you know. Oh, not that good taste of wine, you know. That's a good idea on the middle of the feast, you know. What? I'm not saying that was not wrong. We couldn't have this place. But in a sense, we kind of moved the Feast Tabernacles or a day into our house. And the message was what? Oh, that wine's not good. Try this one. Oh, I'll think about it. We had fun. We enjoyed what we were doing. Dice and all little tiny pieces, little sip, what it would taste like, you know. And, you know, God created an awful lot of grapes, right? And He created an awful lot of grapes because each one of us got a different taste buds. I like that one. No, I don't like that one. I like that one. I like that one. But God likes variety of people. We're not all the same. And then he says, and the Jews marveled, verse 15, saying, how does this man know letters having never studied? You know what let means? Never having studied letters. Interesting phrase. He didn't go to yeshiva school. He didn't go to rabbinic school. He didn't go to what we'd call a lawyer school back in those days. He didn't go to the Pharisee school. He didn't go to the Sadducee. In fact, he didn't even go to school. Because why? It's just, this guy doesn't know anything. He's never studied anything. How come he knows what's going on? What's the story here? Nobody. Nobody. Okay. That's pretty powerful. But where? Just careful with your word. I'm on my word now. Where do you think he went to school at? The will of my Father. That's where he went to school. Each one of us should go to the same school, right? Now, when did he drop out of school? When did he graduate from school? Or was he always in school, always learning, always understanding, always teaching? He had. And that's where we are at. We are in a constant world in our lives of constantly going before the Father, learning from Him. Now, He did send messengers for us to learn from. And many of those is Moses, we're very familiar with. The prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Malachi, and Hosea, and all those. We also have at the school, the teachers teaching us. It's Nehemiah, and it's Ezra. We even have Ruth telling us something, right? We're learning things. And we go in the New Testament, guess what? We have all the apostles teaching us and talking to us and showing us. We are always constantly learning. Okay? Learning what? The will of the Father. Not our will. Not where we want to be. Not what we like to talk about. Not how we want to live. But how to live Torah. Becoming living Torah yourself. Verse 16. And Jesus answered and said to them, "My doctrine is not mine, but it is His who sent me." And once again, this constant thing of, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether it is from my own. Put yourself, real quickly, what is the doctrine you teach? What is the doctrine you live? What is the doctrine that you are going to be telling the people in the kingdom of God? What are you going to tell them? They're going to see, and you're going to tell them almost like the same phrase and same words, "Oh, listen carefully." And he says, if you know the will of the Father, you will know whether or not it is of my own or it is of the Father's. Do you think Jesus really accentuated on his Father? It's like it was a big thing in his life, right? A big issue in his life. And it should be as big in our life. Just as important, and with Jesus, it's probably even more important. That's what He came to teach us. That He came to help us to understand and walk and live accordingly. When that voice that will come behind somebody in the kingdom of God and says, "Don't go to the right, don't go to the left, go straight." Those words are the words of the Father. And you will be saying them. You'll have just as much concern, just as much desire, just as much of a craving, if I could use that inside, to have that person walk straight. Drop down to verse 21. Jesus answered and said, now we're going into what's called judgment. Jesus said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Wow. Okay. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision. Not that it's from Moses, but it's from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken. You are angry with me because I made a man completely whole on the Sabbath. Now we got that down. It says, okay, that's a really stupid statement. But listen to the very statement in 24. And sometimes, people, I have to look at this and I have to say, do not judge according to the appearance, but judge according to righteous judgment. Oh, I'm supposed to think like that. I'm supposed to judge like that. I'm supposed to be that. And so, it's so easy. This is really hard. I'll get more tomorrow. It's real easy to make a judgment believing that it is the right judgment because you judge with appearance. You judge what's going on before your eyes, what you see. Well, lo and behold, he says, don't do it that way. Don't judge what you see, what your appearance is. You must judge righteous judgment. So your question is, that's it. I'm going to judge you righteously, right? And out comes your mouth, and you're condemning him rather than judging them righteously. Where is righteousness? Where is it at? It's within the Torah. It tells you exactly what to do. It tells you how to judge, how to think, how to act, and it tells you everything. I'm accentuating really heavy on the Torah, but it's really important to understand this because you will be, and you should be today, the living Torah. Not the whole picture, for crying out loud, because that's what the Messiah is. He grabs it all. He has it all. But there's a portion of that Spirit of God that's granted unto you that you may be able to write judgment. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Guess what? If we are ambassadors and a problem comes up, what do you do? Oh, got to send an emissary back home and find out, oh, this is the problem. What is your decision, sir? Right? Same thing with inside of us. We turn and we say, oh, I don't know how to judge righteously. Oh, okay. Father, listen to me. I'm at loss. I don't know how to deal with it. This person needs to have some kind of understanding and judgment, and I don't know how to do this. Show me. Teach me. Guide me. And if that's done with a sincere heart, the Creator of heaven, Father, will give it to you. And you'll know. That's not part of the living Torah. Everything that we do in our lives, we live this way, we think this way, we act this way, we work this way, we walk this way. What part to our lives do we not go this way? If there is a problem, you don't know whether you should go this way or go that way, guess what? You can go to your government and ask, what's the decision, sir? But see, it also requires something else, doesn't it? What does the Torah require? Faith. Will you believe, or do you believe, that God will answer you? Of course, we put little clauses, asterisks, parentheses, and everything else around our requests sometimes. The book of Hebrews tells us to what? Boldly go before the throne. Now, we don't like that word bold. It sounds like, you know, no, if you are an ambassador of the eternal creator of heaven and you've got a problem, guess what you're supposed to do? With respect, you go before that throne, not full of fear, not full of terror, not but with your request. I need an answer, sir. Conversation got a little funny here. I'm back Jack here, verse 25. And he says, now some of them from Jerusalem says, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly. Right in the middle of the Feast Tabernacle. He speaks boldly. And they say nothing to him. But the rulers know indeed that this is truly, or do the rulers know this is the Messiah, this is the Christ. However, we know that where this man is from, but not the Messiah. Well, that's a really odd statement, isn't it? Now, we know where Jesus is from, but we don't know where the Messiah is from. Isn't it kind of odd? I said, wait a minute. Is this the Messiah? No man could do this unless it's the Messiah. Wait a minute. This is Jesus. Well, we know where he came from, but we don't know where the Messiah is coming from. Now, verse 28. You could almost feel inside of Jesus at this point and saying, and it says there, then Jesus cried out. Boy, that must want him to raise his voice. And he's gone like he is angry, frustrated, irritated. And he says, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but I have who has sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Guess who the Messiah is? I mean, if you're their presence, you almost hear his voice go up, because it says he cried out loud, really loud. I mean, loud enough that he could be heard for a long, I think, probably with his voice, probably greater than any man's voice you can think of, but powerful enough and strong enough, extremely clear. He didn't stumble across words like I do. He doesn't mispronounce things like I do. Oh, wow. He didn't have a problem reading like I do. It came out strong. Now, what was your issue? Remember? Well, we know where this man comes from. Well, we don't know where the Messiah comes from. Oh, and Jesus says, oh, yes, you do. You know me. You know where I am from. You know where I came from. You know, I told you already in the previous chapter, by the way, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. I am the person. I am the one. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the living God. Wow. Oh, I know what Jesus is. I know who Jesus is. But who's the Messiah? Turn this around, please. To those around about you, do they know where you're from? Do they know? Do they know that you are an ambassador? Do they know that you're from your Father who is in heaven? I don't mean, you know what I'm talking about, if you're representing the kingdom of God on this earth, or he's going to represent when it takes place. There's something new. We, as becoming alive, we're living unto the Lord. What have you baptized? You baptized into what? His death, the Messiah's death, meaning it's all gone, and then you're resurrected back up into what? His life, and then we have life. So now we are in the world of life. won't be able to explain that this. Maybe I'll hit it tomorrow. God willing. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. And there was no Torah. And from Moses to Jesus, death reigned. Because why was the Ten Commandments given? Because of sin. It was added. And then Apostle Paul and even Jesus said this. You, talking to his apostles now, you have passed from death to life. Right? But they all dead, right? They're all died, right? Yeah, of course it did. But they have what's called eternal life. And they, when they are resurrected up, they will be living. And so in a sense, where are you from? Are you from the dead and dying? Or are you from the living? If the Torah represents the living Messiah, and you are thinking like Him, your mind is set within Him, you are part of His life, part of His thinking, and your will is the will of the Father, like Jesus' will is the will of the Father, what is the will of the Father? That all we be saved and none perish. That's His will. And all this calling we do this little symbolism of the lulav. And today is the last of all the calling. It's like, oh, this is repetitious. Okay, well, don't we have to do it again today? Oh, yeah, we have to do it again today. Look, for over 1,000 years, you've been doing it every day. You got a lot of work ahead of you, people. We all have a lot of work ahead of us, people. We will be representing not just, quote, the Torah. We'll be representing something far above it. Remember, the Father is not under the Torah. He never was. He wrote it. He established it. He ordered it. I mean, He's in control of the whole thing, right? And it's going to lead us to life, not to death. Lead unto the promise, as it says there in the book of Corinthians. We won't go there today. But the promise, he says, that led unto us the promise that was given to Abraham. What was the promise given to Abraham? That world will be blessed by one of your seeds. The promise came. Just like the Apostle Paul said, it came. You have access to that promise. I have access to that promise. We all have access to that promise. And that promise is life, not death. We are living within the Torah. I hope so. We're not under the Torah. Hope you understand that. We are living in it. We're walking, we're thinking, we're acting. Our minds are set completely in what it is, because it is the Spirit that can obey the Torah. It's a living Spirit of God that can respond and answer and solve and live within that what's called the Torah. We have part of that inside of us if God granted it to us. That's what it's all about. This last day. Verse 27. Oh my. What happened on the last page? In verse 37. I'm going to have to open the Bible. Because I don't think I have it here. Now, believe it or not, I do have a Bible. And the reason why I go online, I could put it down, because my eyes are getting old. And it's a little bit, even though I got a big letter Bible, it's still hard for me to see. Verse 37.
On the last day, the great day of the feast, meaning the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, what is he supposed to do? Come. Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture says, out of his belly or out of his heart will come what? Let me ask you a question. Let's see. Let's get it straight now. He who believes in me. Okay. Does that fit your criteria so far? As the Scripture says, did you notice that? Every time it has the word Scripture, by the way, it's always the written Torah. It is not an exception to the rule. You can look it up in Greek, you can study in Greek, and it's always do that which is written. The Scripture, and there is a Greek word meaning not that what is written. On scrolls. So, let's go back to the question. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures said to believe in him. You see the play on words here? Just don't believe. Believe in him as the Scriptures say. Where are you going to go? I hope you go to the Torah. I hope you go to the prophets. I hope you go to the writings, because guess what? There was no New Testament written. That's the only place you go to find things out. And that's where the holiness is. That's where cleanliness is. That's where we get sanctified from. We go back, we understand spiritually the concept of the blood. The blood is in the life of the animal. Love is in the life. We understand things about that because the Torah tells us these things. Now we have a picture of what's going on. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Question. Is living waters coming out of you? Yes, I know it says a little later, we're talking about the Spirit of God coming and becoming part of you. Yes, but I want to ask you a question. We already know that part. Didn't I say, I want you to think about something? If living waters are coming out of you, and you believe, according to Scriptures, in the Messiah, according to Scriptures, when life comes forth from you, what's really coming forth? You're becoming a living Torah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I said, have you ever thought of yourself as living Torah? Now, see, we have this spiritual concept. And, oh, I don't get this. No, it means you're going to live. And you can live according to what? Scripture is going to be done. And guess what? The Father's going to come, and he's going to give you his Spirit that you will have life, not death. Today, I hope you understand that you will have life. You're just like the Messiah. Let that mind be in you that was in him. Don't hold it back. Don't say, well, yeah, he's the Messiah. He's Jesus. Who could get? Who? We'll never reach that point. Well, that's not what it says. How often do you? This is not a correction now. How often do you actually go and read what is written? Why do you do that for? Because you want to be fed. You want to see. You want to hear. You want to understand. You want to be with God. You want to be with him. You want to be part of his life. And how you do that?
You say, I'm going to believe in the Messiah as the Scriptures say. And then I will have life flowing from within me. Let us close. O great eternal God in heaven, we wait longly for the time when we will be with you, desire to be with you, and want to be with you. And you've given us life. You've given us life by and through what you have written, given us life and through and by your Son who has shown us and teaching us and guiding us every day of our life. We wanted to see and understand your way, your thoughts, your mind, your heart, your most innermost part of you, because your will is very, very precious, very, very important, and we want to know it. We want to understand it. And you have sent your Son that we may be able to know it. We may be able to stand it more than any other time. We thank you and glorify you today, and thank you for the last day here, the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you for the calling and calling us in and calling us, well, all of us in. And I know there are thousands and thousands of people around this world who are been called and are doing the work, doing the thinking about what we have said and what you have presented by and through your Scriptures. We praise you and thank you. And thank you for the wonderful blessings you have given to us for the Feast of Tabernacles. This we say in the name of your Son, Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.